pointed out that there is a very, very basic machlokas over here between Rashi and the Ri into how to learn our sugya of Chereshes and Shota. That we have two braisos that are so sir one another. Let's take Rashi's girsa. The first braisa says that by a Chereshes and a Shota, we have two consequences. That they have a knas, that's what we're talking about over here in our perek, and also they have ta'anat besulim. Ta'anat besulim means that the husband, if he finds Pesach Pasuach, if he finds that this woman is not a besula, he has a taina that we have over here mechachtos. Namely, he has an expectation that she is supposed going to be a besula, and only under that condition she would get her ksuva. And in this situation, there is a valid taina of the husband. That's one braisa. And then the other braisa, that a chereshes and a shota, ein lahem tanat besulim. In other words, that we have a machokas, again, going to Rashi here, on that second question as to whether the husband has the right to be mafsid her ksuva. The first braisa says yes. The second braisa says no, that ein lahem tanat besulim. That's the stira between the two braisas. And so Rashi understands, well, if we're talking about Tanas Besulim, and then the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Ha Rabbi Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Yoshua. So Rashi says, so let's go back to the first perek and see what exactly is the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, and then plug it into the world of Chereshes and Shota. So Rashi went back to the classic machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, where the husband Tainas, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, you're not a Besula. And she says, well, you're correct, but Misha Nitarasti Ne'anasti, I was a Besula when I married you. When you said Hari Amakudeshitli, I was. But a week later, that's been a year ago, a week later, I was raped. Misha Nitarasti Ne'anasti. And so there's no Mekachtos, I was a Besula. So it's his, and the husband says, I don't believe you. In other words, how do I know that's true? Maybe you were not a Besula to begin with. And so we have Machokas, Rav Yoshua, when he, you have a he says, she says. So Machokas, Yeshua, and Rabbi Gamliel. Rav Yoshua says, we have a rule. We have a rule that Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. And over here, he has the money in his pocket. She wants the ksuva. She has to prove her point. If she can't prove it, we're not going to believe her ta'ana. Lo mipiha nachnu chayim. That's Rav Yoshua. So like classic Chosha Mishpat. Comes from Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, no, that we have over here in the world of Choshe Mishpat also Chazakos. So you, Rabbi Yoshua, you're bringing in a Cheskas Mamon. But there's another Chazaka, there's a Cheskas Haguf. I'm working according to Rashi. Within the sugi over there, it's a little more complicated. Rashi says over here, there's a Cheskas Haguf. This woman was born of Besula. When we have a Cheskas Haguf, we assume status quo ante, that which was remains. And so we assume she was a Besula even when she was married. She's not a Besula now, so yesterday she was raped. That's what she's claiming. She's claiming she was raped at the last minute. And the Cheskas Haguf trumps the Cheskas Mamon, and Halach L'maisa, we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, that we believe her. So the Gemara was bothered. So fine, you have a machlokes between Rabban Gamliel, that we believe her, and Rabbi Yoshua, we don't believe her. The Chereshes and the Shota, there's no taina. She's not saying anything. What's there to believe? So here the Gemara introduces the concept of Taninan, that whatever normal man would have been in it, Bezdin as Aviyam Shal Yisomim, Bezdin is going to step in and say, we'll be towing for this miskena, for this poor woman who doesn't have the seichel to be towing for herself, that Mishanit Arsa Ne'ensa. And that's the machokas. Namely, the first braisa that says, Yeshla ta'anat besulim, that the husband has the right to say, what's going on over here, Mekach Tolos, that's Rav Yoshua. And the second braisa, that is Rabban Gamliel. That's Rashi's part of the sugya. Namely, that, you know, just everything fits in very beautifully into the sugya itself. We have the classic Rabban Gamliel and Rav Yoshua. The concept of Tani'inan, we understand why the Gemara brings it in, because the whole din of Rabbi Gamliel is built on Taina, and her Taina is missing. So we have over here Tani'inan, which is built in. The whole issue of Tosos with Rashi is, can one really say that according to Rabban Gamliel, we only need one factor in order to give a woman money, just the cheskas aguf. A cheskas aguf overrides cheskas mamon. That's not found in the sugya in the first perek. They speak about bari v'shema, they speak about migo, there are all sorts of other factors. So if you recall, Tosus brought a raya to Rashi from the world of Trefos, and then Tosus pointed out that Rashi has to learn that way also in the world of Mum. We have all these we have a lot of situations where you have a world of chazakos, and in Achinami, the Achronim speak very much about this whole concept. I mentioned that the Shev Shmaisisa in Shmaisisa Beis talks at great length about this shita of Rashi, because it appears to be going against the rules. We normally have a principle that ein motzi in mamon al pi rov, and ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. Then so over here, how can we motzi mamon just with a cheskas aguf? That it does not appear to be fitting into the general world of choshen mishpat. But clearly that is Rashi shita. Okay. However, one's going to learn it. That is Rashi shita that we have over here. Tosas, however, appears was bothered very, very much by this matter of, you know, it's of ignoring all of the other conditions that are brought in the first perek, and so Tosfos wants to understand that maybe Bichlal, the Rashi's barking up the wrong tree. We're not talking about the Machlokas of Yeshua Rabban Gamliel in terms of Tainos, because then you have to be samech totally on a cheskas aguf, and not pitom that a cheskas aguf should override a cheskas mamon. But rather, we have another machlokes between Rav Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel in the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel. There, the Mishnah speaks about the fact that the husband claims Pesach Matzuch Matzasi, and she says, "Sure, I'm a mukas eitz. I was injured. I fell off my bicycle when I was a little girl. I was injured. I'm a mukas eitz." And he claims, "Ma pitam, you're mukatzes. You know, it's you're a nivelet. You know, it's someone was intimate with you. This is a mekachtos." And so over there also we have a machlokas, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. But there the machlokas, as Menachem pointed out last time, is on a totally different issue. There the machlokas is, how do we view women in terms of the world of mukatzes? Is this a phenomena which is lo shchiach, or is this a phenomena which is shachiach? And again, you know, you don't have to say machlokas ben metzius. It could be that everyone agrees that it's found in 39% of the women. The question is, where do you draw the line between shchiach and lo shchiach? But Tosas calls this a case of shchiach, Tosas says, according to Rabban Gamliel, this would be a case of shchiach, while according to Rav Yeshua, it would be a case which is lo shchiach. So, by a normal woman, we assume that if she tells us she's a besula, so she's telling us, according to Rabban Gamliel, she's not in this chazaka of being a mukaset. That's exactly what she's told her potential husband. I'm a besula. And then, so if she claims she's a besula, and then it turns out that she's a mukaset, that's a problem of machok, that, you know, a question of whether we believe her or not. But according to Rabban Gamliel, we believe her because she's being toenet something which is shechiach. But over here in our sugya, we have a woman who can't be toenet. We can't be toenet. So according to the way Tosus understands, the machlokis between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel is, do we have a cheskas mukas eitz on this woman who cannot be toenet? According to Rav Yehoshua, mukas eitz is a situation of very low shriach. The chereshes and shota don't have such a standard and of being considered to be mukat eitz, and therefore we're going to assume that they are or should be basulas. So the first brisa, according to Tosfos, yesh lehem knas, that if they were raped or seduced, they have a knas because we assume they're besulas. Being a mukas eitz is something which is lo shchiach. Yesh lehem tanat besulim, if it turns out that the husband says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, then he can view that as being a Mekach Talos. Masha Ein Kain, according to the second Braisa, we say, Ein Lahem Tanat Besulim. The husband has no right to assume that this woman is a Besula. Most women are Mukat Eitz. And here we're dealing with a woman who can't be To'enet, I'm a Besula. And so we assume she's a Mukat Eitz. And therefore the husband has no Ta'anot, and he owes her Ksuva. Namely, the first Braisa is Rav Yoshua. The second Braisa is Rabban Gamliel. What's difficult in Tosfos is what is this concept over here of Tanina? We're not talking over here about Ta'anot. We're talking over here about what is the state of this woman in terms of the reality. What's the reality of the state of the woman? Rav Yoshua views a standard Chereshet as a Besula, and Rabban Gamliel views her as a mukaseis. This has nothing to do, do we believe her mishanitarasti ne'enasti? Are we going to be towing for her mishanitarasti ne'enasti? We're not relating to the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, we're relating to the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So that is a question that we're going to see is raised by the Ramban. The Ramban is going to raise that question, not on Tosos, but on the parallel to Tosos. Namely, what in the world is Taninan doing over here? So what we can say simply as, you know, just to continue, in other words, that is that according to Tosos, maybe Tanina is sort of lavdafka. Tanina means in this sugya that we are relating to the situation that Bezin is going to have to be done. But that's very, very difficult because we're bringing a pasuk psach picha le'ilim that Bezin is going to stand up for her and be towing for her. But within Tosfos, there are really does not appear there any ta'anot. And it was that's exactly where he disagrees with Rashi.
Why isn't this a classic ta'anot?
Excuse me?
I didn't understand. Why isn't, according to Tosfos, the case where based on say for the Chereshus that it's Mukas Eitz a classic ta'anot?
Because who needs a ta'ana? Who needs a ta'ana? We have a chazaka. You need a ta'ana when we don't know what the situation here is. Here, according to Tosfos, this woman is Becheskas Mukas Eitz. She's Becheskas Mukas Eitz. That's the reality of the situation. In other words, again, Nira Lari, the Kulu Chivute Mechavtan. We have a Gemara we're going to see next week that women, according to Rabbi Gamliel, tend to be naturally injured by a normal woman. So we can ask her, are you a Besula? Are you a Mukatei? It's here, the Chereshet and the Shota. La Matzei Amrei. They can't be Toein. So, Becheskas Mukas Eitz Nisaos. We just assume that they're Mukas Eitz. And L'chora, again, it's a working... It's an assumption. It's an assumption that Bezin works with. We have over here this chazak. It's not as though we have to back up a certain taina because there is no taina. There's no need for a taina. There's no reason why the husband should have assumed otherwise. Okay. With these two, yes.
Does that mean that for a regular woman there is an issue of mekach talis here?
For a regular woman, according to Rabbi Gamliel, if a regular woman is to'enet, I'm a mukas eitz, she's believed because that situation is shachiach. A regular woman has to be to'enet. The husband is to'en drusat isha. You don't have basulim, you were intimate with someone else. So she has to come up with it, she has to have a taina. A regular woman who can be to'en has to be to'enet. So what is she to'enet? I'm mukas eitz. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, since this is a matzav which is shachiach, we'll believe her. She's to'enet. Her ta'ana is based on a reality, but she has to be to'enet. That reality applies to her.
But isn't that still a mekach talis if he thought that she was besula?
He had no, according to Rabbi Gamliel, he had no right to think that she was a besula. That's because this is so shachiach, he should have realized that it's very, very likely that she's a mukas eitz. He has a right to assume that she's not nivelet. But she says, I agree with you, I was not nivelet, I was a mukas eitz. Rav Yoshua says, that's not shchiach, that a woman is mukas eitz. And so she has to prove it, according to Rav Yoshua. In other words, Hamotzi Mechev Olav Haraya. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, she has this chazaka. She has this chazaka that Rov Nashim are Mechivute Mechavton. Most women, in other words, have all sorts of injuries. Okay, those are the, yes?
I just want to ask, in terms of what we're saying now, even Pshat and Tosos, it sounds like what Tosos didn't like about Rashi was that we're having assumption of Cheskas of Gof, and based on Cheskas of Gof, we'd basically be towing for her and be Motsi Mom. But in this, we're setting a situation that's almost similar in that we have a Cheskas of Gof when it comes to a Cheresh and Shota, based on that, basically be towing for her that she didn't succeed.
Not exactly. Again, according to Rashi, it's his word against her word. In other words, in Machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, and we believe her word because of a Cheskas Haguf. In the case of Mukas Eitz, the way the Tosis is learning is that there's no reason to get onto his word versus her word. That you need in a situation where she can be Tohenet. But in a situation where she cannot be Tohenet, we simply have a... I see. You know, you're saying that the bottom line is that even according to Tosis, we're going to have this Cheskas Mukas Eitz, which is overriding the Cheskas Mama. And we were going to be... No, it's what? Right. In other words, the court within Tosfos, there is nothing that has to be explained. In other words, I don't have to prove that now it's day. In other words, it's day. In other words, if it would be maybe dark, you know, then I'd have to say, well, there are clouds, v'chule. But everyone sees it's day. So according to Tosfos, everyone knows that a woman is b'cheskas mukas eitz. Namely, that there was no reason in the first place for him to rate to have an issue. Maybe we have a mekach tolus. The working assumption is that a woman is a mukas eitz unless she tells us that she is a besula. According to Rashi, we were dealing with a world of besulos. And in that world of besulos, here we have a woman who's a yotzei dofen, that she is not a besula. And then we have a question, why is she not a besula? But that's, you know, it's that she has to explain the exception. So to say that a cheskas haguf will explain the exception, that tells us didn't want to go like. But over here, we're dealing with a world of mukot eitz. There's no reason why we're not trying to explain an exception. We're simply pointing out that this is the reality of the world. It's a totally opposite approach. Totally opposite approach. Okay, moving over to the back of the to the Mefarshim on the Rift, to the Baal Hamor and Ramban. On page Yud Gimel Midbeis in the pagination of the Alphas, the Baal Hamor uses terms that are familiar to us, but we'll see he uses them in a very unusual manner. Mishum de Israel Mirma Achrisa Iluye. We have a steer in the Brisos. Amar Rav Sheshes Lo Kasha, Harav Gamliel, Harav Yoshua, Perush. The Rabbi Gamliel de Islay Chazaka de Gufa, the Amrinon Ha'amed Haguf al Cheskato, the Cheskas Besula Omedes, the Yeshla Ta'anas Besulim Uknas, the Afagav de Taninon La Mishum Knas, the Member de Besula Havoy, David Sach Picha de Ilaim. Avolagabe Tanas Besulim Lotanin and Ladilma Mukas Eitz Havis, the Dilma Mishnitaris and his Nansa, the Mile Droshriche Ninu, Vrotanin and La. Ula Rav Yoshua, Lesre Chazaka de Gufa, Cheskata Bula, the Ain La Lotanas Besulim, v'lo knas, v'lo kein pirish Rabbeinu Shlomo Zal. What over here has the Baal HaMor done to the sugya? In terms of the two brisos that we have in the sugya, we'll get into the details of how he learns in a minute. But just maybe just to clarify matters, we have over here a chereshes and a shota. We have a question as to what their status is. We have over here two brisos. Brisa number one says yesh lahen knas. And then Rashi adds in the words, v'yesh lahen ta'anat v'sulik. And according to Rashi, these words that are in his gear, so this is the eager of Rashi. And this Bryce over here says, ein lahen ta'anat v'sulik. So both Rashi and Tosfos say that this Bryce is Rabbi Yoshua. And this brisa is Rabban Gamliel. What is the reason Ein Lahem Ta'anat Besulim over here, according to Rabban Gamliel? Because we have a Peskas Haguf of Sula, and Taninan, for this woman, Misha Nit Arasti Ne'enas. And together with the Cheska Saguf, this Taina is now believed. According to Tosus over here, we have a Cheskas Mukas Eitz on this woman, and that's what we call Tanina. It's really not Tanina, it's simply a Metzius. We have a Metzius that we have a Cheskas Mukas Eitz. Here, Rabbi Yoshua, we have a Cheskas Besula. Here, Rabbi Yoshua, we say we have. Okay, all right, that according to Rashi, Machlokas is what takes precedence, the Cheskas Mamon or the Cheskas Guf? Does the Cheskas Guf give a woman the Emonis on her Taina? Or no? According to Tosfos, we have a Machlokas B'Metzius. How do we view a normal woman? As a Besula or as a Mukas Eitz? And that's what we call Ta'aninan, that since this woman can't tell us her status, we assume that she is a Mukas Eitz. We simply assume that this is a Metzius, that she's a Mukas Eitz. In this constellation, what is the main issue of the Baal HaMor in terms of understanding these two brisos? Yes?
Cheskas Besula should be Mechayim. It should rob her of her Tainus.
You're starting from the middle. Start from the beginning.
He switches the authorship of the brisos.
Excellent. In other words, Baal HaMor says, the Gemara says, Ha, Rabban Gamliel, Ha, Rabbi Yoshua. Ha is one, and Ha is two. In other words, what Rashi and Tosfos did was, according to Rabban Gamliel, according to the Baal HaMor, they turned the Gemara upside down. They said, Ha, number two is Rabban Gamliel. Ha, number one is Rabbi Yoshua. That's not the language of the Gemara. Ha, Rabban Gamliel. This side is Rabban Gamliel. And this side is Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, now everything is going to have to be turned differently. If we're saying that the brisa of Yesh Lahen Knas and Yesh Ta'anat Besulim is Rabbi Gamliel, and the brisa of Ein Ta'anat Besulim is Rabbi Yoshua. Now, realize that that's not the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua that we know from the first parak. In the first parak, Rabbi Yoshua says there's a Tainas Besulim. Tainas Besulim means Mekach Tos. And Rabbi Gamliel says, no, there's no Tainas Besulim, you have to pay the Ksuva. Now we're saying that in our case, Rabbi Gamliel is going to say, we have over here a Mekach Tos, and Rabbi Yoshua is going to say, we pay the Ksuva. What is going on? So here, within this context, what Aaron is pointing out is that Rabbi Gamliel has a concept called Cheskas Haguf. This is what we saw in the first parak. cheskas haguf means that this woman is a besula. Is that we assume this woman is a besula. We assume she is a besula, therefore yesh lahen knas. We assume she's a besula, and therefore if she's not a besula, we have a ta'anas besulim. And Rabbi Yoshua holds that cheskas haguf is weak, right? We saw that Rabbi Yoshua held that cheskas mamon overrides cheskas haguf. In other words, we don't view this as something that halachically has a standing in court, and therefore, okay, let's take the two sides. Let's go back to the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor points out, Rabbi Gamliel isle chazaka de gufa, amina ha'amed ha'gufa cheskaso becheskas besula omedes, v'yesh lehem ta'anat besulim, uknas. Va'af al-gav de taninan mishum knas, lememro de besula havoi, da'have le'psach picha le'ilem, aval gabe ta'anat besulim lo taninan lo, dilma mukas eitz havis, v'dilma mishinitaras, Ne'enast, the mile de lo shriche ninhu velo taninan lo. What does Rabbi Gamliel say? I hold that this cheskas haguf a besula. Now, back in the first parak, we're dealing with a woman who is to'enet. She is claiming. What is she claiming? She is claiming mishenitarasti ne'enasti. When I got married to you, I was a besula. I have this cheskas haguf that will back me up. When I got married to you, I had never had relations with someone else. I have a cheskas haguf that will back me up. But mishen tarasti ne'enasti, mukas eitz ani. Namely, that she is to'enet that based on built that she is to'enet that she has a taina, and based on her cheskas haguf, we're going to believe her ta'ana. By the Chereshet and the Shota, she's not to'enet. She's what? She's not to'enet. So what is classically the tool of Beis Din to help a woman who's not to'enet? Tanin amla. We'll be to'enet for her. However, there's a rule. There's a rule in Tanina that when does Beis Din use this tool of Taninan? Only by a Ta'ana Shechicha. Only by something which is very, 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 which is found many, many times. Something which has a basis in reality. Mishenitarasti ne'enasti is a possibility, but it's not something that happens every day, that a woman who was mekudeshet is going to be raped. Mukas eitz is a possibility. Again, this is not Tosis, Baal HaMor. Mukas eitz is a possibility, but it's not something that is very, very common, and therefore, we cannot use ta'aninan to help this woman. So we're dealing with a situation where are we going to use the cheskas haguf? When someone seduces her or rapes her, we're going to assume that the woman that was seduced or raped was a besula. Cheskas haguf, we're going to assume she's a besula. However, when a husband comes and claims, Pesach Pasuach Matzati, a husband says, she's not a besula. And now she has to try and explain herself. And the ta'anot that she uses to explain herself are not shriach. If she herself is to'enet, we'll believe her. But we're not going to use those ta'anot. Beis Din isn't going to raise them for another woman because they're not shriach. And therefore, yesh lehen ta'anat besulim. In other words, that since she should have been a besula and she's not, so that's called mekach tos. Rav Yoshua, on the other hand, holds just the opposite. The cheskas haguf is weak. Were someone to rape or seduce this woman, probably there would not be a knas, because we'll assume that that this cheskas saguf is not going to really get off the ground. And when the husband and in other words, by a chereshet and a shota, we're going to assume Rav Yoshua less lechazaka degufa cheskasa beula ein lagota anas besurim v'lo knas v'chulei. Namely, there is no reason that since the cheskas aguf is weak, there is no reason for the husband to assume that she is a besula. So he has no cheskas, he has no tanas besulim. He has no reason to assume that she should be a besula. Namely, that we're taking everything in the opposite direction. So Becheskas Aguf is Cholash, so she's Becheskas Be'ula. And over here, she's Becheskas Aguf, she's Becheskas Besula. Namely, that which we said earlier for Rav Yoshua, now we're saying for Rabbi Gamliel, that which we said earlier, over here this Rav Yeshua was a new Rav Yeshua. So, according to the Baal Hamor, the Machlokes is this Chereshis or Shota? Is she Becheskas Besula or is she Becheskas Be'ula? That is the Machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. It starts off from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel has a Cheskas Aguf and Rabbi Yeshua views a Cheskas Aguf as being very weak. But then the results turn to the opposite world of results. So if we're not ta'aninan because we lack a ta'ana shlicha, so what does it mean when it says ta'aninan? What does it mean ta'aninan for knas? In other words, this is not, again, the same issue that we had with Tosos, we have over here with the Baal Hamor. That according to Tosos and the Baal Hamor, Taninan is not really that Beis Din is towing something for. Beis Din is simply telling us, this is the Mitziyut. This is the Mitziyut. That's what we call Ta'aninan. As opposed to Rashi, that Ta'aninan, the Taina that she wanted to say, we're going to say for her, within Tosfos and within the, when Baal Hamor, Taninan will put in quotation marks. Taninan means we're going to view her as. View her as. So, in other words, according to Tosos, we're going to view her in a situation of cheskas mukaseitz. According to the Baal Hamor, we're going to view her as a besula, but viewing her as a besula is only going to give her a knas. It's not going to give her her ksuva. It's going to give her her knas, but not her ksuva. Because to give her ksuva, she has to have a ta'ana. And we're not going to come with a taninan and a tana, which is not shachiyach. A tana has to be shliach. Okay, so we have over here within the Baal Hamor that the Har of Gamliel and Har of Yeshua pushed him to switch the authorship of the Braisos, and within that switch, he came to a perush which is similar to Tosfos, namely that we're viewing her in terms of her status. That according to Tosfos, the Machlokes is she a Cheskas Besula or a Cheskas Mukas Eitz? According to the Baal Hamor, is she a Cheskas Besula or a Cheskas Be'ula? Baal Hamor doesn't bring in the world of Mukas Eitz. Mukas Eitz, according, is Eino Shriach. We're not towing something which is not Shriach. On this Baal Hamor, the Ramban has two questions, two very powerful questions, and then he comes up with his own Perush. Okay, so far, are we following one another? Yes.
I don't understand the Cheskas Be'ula of Rabbi Yeshua at all. Okay, there's no Cheskas Aguf Lahotzi Mama, but how's the no Cheskas Aguf make a Cheskas Be'ula based on what premise?
Based on the dun, dun, dun.
You say cheskas bula lechotzi mamon. If you're saying
isn't there a
if ein lam tanis besulin, because that way she gets her ksuba.
The cheskas be'ula means that the husband had no reason to assume that this woman was a besula. He had no reason to assume that she is a besula. On what basis would he assume that she is besula?
Why should he assume that she's a be'ula? I mean, okay, let's say, besides the fact that it's a big stretch in learning in Rabbi Yeshua that there's no cheskas be'ula.
Right, that's what we'll see the Ramban's
right,
question.
But even I'm saying, even if you say that, still, why would you assume there's cheskas be'ula? There's no cheskas be'ula.
We have over here within the logical possibilities, a woman who, when the husband says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, there are three options as to how to view this woman in terms of when she was married. One is that she, what she's claiming, I was a psula when I was married, but mishenitarasti nenasti. That's one option. The other is that she was not a psula when she was married, but that divides into two options. Either she was mukas eitz or she was beula. So we have, by this woman, in other words, when the husband claims pesach pasuch matzati, but at the time of the original marriage, or ikudeshet, either she was a psula or she was a beula, or she was a mukatez. Right? Those are the three options, correct? Okay. In order to say she was a psula, we have to come on to Misha Nit Arasti Ne'enasti. Okay. So comes along the Bal Hamor and says, let's take the probability of the existence of these options. So his working assumption is that to say she was a basula, that's lo shliach. It could be, but it's a minority. To say mukat eitz, that's lo shliach. So if she's to'enet basula, so then we have machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, that according to Rabbi Gamliel, she has a cheskas besula. If she's to'enet mukas eitz ani, so that's also machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. That Rabbi Gamliel also said we have a chazaka that she was not nivelet. But Rabbi Yoshua says two things. He says, I don't hold of that cheskas aguf, namely that the cheskas aguf is not enough to justify a tana which is not shriach. So if this falls off, and this falls off, so Pesach Pasuach basically says that she was Be'ula.
Right, so therefore, Yesh Batal is Be'ula.
Again, and that, in other words...
So
and
he should say, I don't give you a Ksuba because you're a Be'ula. I know, this is only in the case, all these three scenarios only within Pesach Pasuach, but the
so in a normal Pesach Pasuach. So in a normal woman, in a case of a normal woman, who can be to'enet, so we would say that she would lose her ksuva because she should have been to'enet A, she should have been to'enet B, etc. But here we're dealing with a chereshet and a shota who cannot be to'enet. And since the husband knows that she can't be to'enet, he knows in advance she can't be to'enet, and so the husband should realize that if he's going to find Pesach Pasuach, that is going to imply that she's a Be'ula, and so he shouldn't have expected anything otherwise.
It's not Mekhtos. He should expect that maybe she'll be a Be'ula.
He should expect that the Chereshet and the Shota will be a Be'ula.
Why would he expect it to be a Be'ula? He was expected to be not Pesach Pasuach.
Because
to be a Besula.
According to Rav Yoshua, the fact that she was born a Besula is not a important factor.
Okay, don't hold it against her.
What?
He shouldn't hold it against her. He's 50-50 maybe. Okay. That's the essence of what I'm struggling with. You know?
I understand what you're struggling with. But
if I understood correctly, now Rabbi was trying to say that he should expect that if you have a Tainas Basulin, the only explanation would be Be'ula. And so therefore he doesn't have a Taina Melechatchila, something like that.
That's not what I'm saying, it's a Baba Mar saying.
Right, the explanation.
What can you say that
what?
Your husband gets married and he's claiming, I assumed you were Basula when we got married. And he can only make that claim if there's some reason to assume that she was a Sula. In this case, there's no reason for him to, there's no positive reason for him to assume that she was a Basula, because she has no Cheskas Basula. Normal woman has a Cheskas Basula, so you get married, so then the husband can say, you were I assumed you were a Basula when you got married, because every woman is a Basula. Right. This woman can't be a Basula.
Why this woman can't?
What's she doesn't have Cheskas Basula.
Why does
this
woman have Cheskas Basula and this woman doesn't?
She can't speak.
So what if she can't speak?
No, because Rabbi Yeshua holds there's no such thing as a...
But you just said a rogue woman, they do have. I'm saying whatever there is a rogue woman that's Cheskas Basula, and so too, she'll have Cheskas Basula. What's the difference? The only difference is after you find out Basula, then what's the time of? I'm talking about before the world of Pesach Basula, but when a person gets married, what should he assume? Is this woman a Basula or not? And there's no difference in the I don't find the difference between Cheskas and Shota and Shar Nashim. So, or Kol Nashim Ein Laim Tainas Basula, because there's no such a concept of Rogue Basulas in these cells. Bichlal, or everyone should have a Tainas Basula.
Within the Baal HaMor, he is assuming, similar to Tosfos, that by a normal woman, she is Toenet. And so when she is Toenet that she was a Basula, she's Toenet she was a Basula. So Rabbi Gamliel says, we believe her. Why? Because we have a Cheskas Haguf that backs up her Tana. Rabbi Yoshua says by a normal woman who claims that she was a Basula, she's not believed because she doesn't have that Cheskas Haguf is not considered to be a meaningful chazaka within the Baal HaMor. That Cheskas Haguf is not a meaningful chazaka. It's not a meaningful chazaka. The Cheskas Haguf is not a meaningful chazaka. Meaning that the fact that she was born a Basula is something which is irrelevant.
Irrelevant halachically.
The fact that she was born a Basula, so she was born a Basula. To everyone, it's like she was born without teeth. So she was born without teeth. That doesn't tell us anything about what's going to be in the future. Cheskas Basula, according to Rabbi Yoshua, is irrelevant.
Is irrelevant even for the expectation that the husband should have?
So by a normal woman, the woman herself says that she was a Basula. So within Rabbi Gamliel says, we have a Cheskas Haguf that will back her up. Rabbi Yeshua says, we have no Cheskas Haguf that will back her up. When a woman cannot be Toenet that she was a Basula, within the world of the Baal HaMor, there's no reason for the husband to assume that she's a Basula. This simply, it doesn't, you know, it's... It, when a woman can be Toenet, so then the Ta'ana of being a Basula or not being a Basula, that's what the husband is Somech on. That had my wife not been a Basula, she would have told me. But by a Chereshes and a Shota, she can't tell him. So we're going to assume he has no reason to assume that she's a Basula. If he has no reason to assume that she's a Basula, that's what we call over here Cheskas Basula. That's why she doesn't get the money. So by a normal woman, had she been a Basula, she should have told him. And if she didn't tell him, he's going to claim Mekach Tos. But by this woman who can't be Tohenet, and there is no Cheskas Haguf halachically, according to Rabbi Yeshua, so this will be the result. What the Baal HaMor is asking on the what the Ramban is asking on the Baal HaMor is that assumption is not correct, as you're pointing out. It's a very, very difficult assumption. Amar HaKosev, look in the third line of the Milchamos, Ein Zeh Nachon. The Rav Yoshua Gufa Isle Chazaka de Gufa. It's not that Rav Yoshua holds there's no such thing as a Cheskes HaGuf, that the fact that a woman is born a Besula is meaningless. No. He holds that there is a concept of Cheskes HaGuf. Kerabrinim HaPerak HaMadir, and Daf Ayin Hei Amad Aleph. Kilo Azul Rav Yoshua Basar Chazaka de Gufa, Hanemi Lehecha de Ika Chazaka de Mamona. All Rav Yoshua pointed out is that a Cheskes Mamon overrides a Cheskes HaGuf. Hecha de Lecha Chazaka de Mamona. But if there's no Cheskes Mamon, also Rav Yeshua Basar Chazaka de Gufa. Namely, it's not as though Rav Yeshua Rav Gamliel is as the Baal HaMor makes it out, either a woman is Becheskes Besula or she's Becheskes Be'ula. If there's a Cheskes Aguf, she's Becheskes Besula. If we don't apply the Cheskes Aguf, she's Becheskes Be'ula. No, Rav Yeshua agrees that a woman, every woman, we're going to assume that she's a Besula, but that's not going to override the Cheskes Mamon. But when there's no Cheskes Mamon, he does hold of such a factor. The Kol Shekein Hacha, the Tanas Besulim, the Ikatarte, Chazaka de Mamon, Abba Chazaka de Gufa. This is what Menachem is pointing out, that this husband, he is holding on to the money. He has a Cheskes Mamon. And in this situation, the Cheskes HaGuf would tell us that he can assume that she's a Besula. So lechor, those are two reasons for her not to give the money. A, he assumed that she was a Besula and he finds Pesach Pasuk. B, he's holding on to the money. So the working assumption of the Baal HaMor is very, very, very difficult. That's question number one. Question number two, Va'o dahach diyuka da'ike rabbi gemara. Aimur the Shamas Rabbi Gamliel Hecha the Ta'anaihi Vechule, Lo Asya Shapir Lahai Perusha. The Gemara that brings in Taninan doesn't fit in according to the Baal HaMor. Adkan Lo Boy Rabbi Gamliel Taina Elagabi Nose Isha Velo Matza La Besulim, Ilmale Ta'anasa, Ein Cheskas Akrum, Hare Bu'ulahish Ein La Besulim, Bishvil Cheskas Gufa, Nemenes Liton Ta'ana Acheret Lahamit Tana Rishona. That where do you require taninan to get the ksuva? Avagabi knas ein chazaka degufa moil hare besulahi. But in terms of knas, that's not taninan. Taninan is where you need a taina. In the world of knas, you don't need a taina. We're going to assume that a woman is a besula. That's simply the mitzius. Again, it's the mitzius. It's not taninan. According to the Baal HaMor, we can't apply taninan. Classic Taninan, because it's Lo Shriach. But where does he want to apply Taninan? To the world of Knas. But the world of Knas doesn't need Taninan. If she's a Besula, she's a Besula without Taninan. If she's not a Besula, then Taninan isn't going to help. Taninan is Chor irrelevant to the world of Knas. Those are the two questions of the Milchamos. The Milchamos' two questions are that you got Rabbi Yoshua all wrong, and Taninan doesn't make sense according to you. The second question of the Ramban is the question that we ourselves asked on Tosfos, that Tosfos brings in Taninan to relate to a reality. It's really not Taninan. That's what the Baal HaMor is doing. He's using Taninan to relate to a reality. This woman is a Cheskes Besula, and therefore she should get her knas. But this isn't the classic Taninan, just pointing out. In other words, that's the second question, that both Tosas and the Baal HaMor are using Taninan not as what Beis Din is saying for her, but simply, what is her status? Her status is Mukas Eitz, her status is Besula. That's what we're calling Taninan. That's not normal usage of Taninan. Within the first question of the Ramban on the Baal HaMor, that sof kol sof, the Gemara says black and white that according to Rabbi Yoshua, we take into account Cheskes HaGuf. It's just not enough to override. It's just not enough to override the Cheskes Mamon. And so, how can the Baal HaMor say that Rabbi Yoshua disregards the Cheskes HaGuf? This is a very, very powerful question. This is a very powerful question. In terms of trying to answer it, I'll just give you the terminology, but we're not going to fully take it to its conclusions. is that whenever we speak about a chazaka, we can have a chakira. There's a classic chakira in the world of Rov and in the world of chazaka. Are we talking about a birur, or are we talking about a hanhagas bezdin? Namely, when we have a certain reality in the world, and bezdin has a suffix, are we going to say that that reality is like a raya? It's a birur. It's something which is going to be viewed as a vadaus, as a certainty, or the suffix is a suffix. Bezdin has a suffix. It has a suffix. But you just can't live the world with sfeikos. You have to come to conclusions. And so Bezdin has the right to come to a conclusion based on the chazaka. Not that this is the reality, but it's simply a tool of Bezdin to come to a conclusion. So within the world of the Ramban, he's assuming that when you have a chazaka, that's a reality. That's vados. That tells us the mitzius. And so Rabbi Yoshua, who agrees that there is a din of cheskas aguf, it's just not enough to override cheskas mamon, but it's a reality. It's something that we have to reckon with. It's something which is real. Ma'ashen ki yitachen, that according to the Baal Hamor, when we speak about chazaka, cheskas aguf, it's a question, is this a tool that Bezdin can use? Not that it's a reality. It simply is it a tool that Bezdin can use? And once Rabbi Yoshua says that Bezdin can't use this tool, then it's not a factor. In other words, it's not something which is going to. It's not something. In other words, it was never meant as a reality. It was never meant as a vados. When Rabbi Yoshua says, "Well, are we somech on a cheskas aguf when there's no cheskas mamon?" Always telling us this is a tool of Bezdin. But it's not something that defines what the woman really is. And so once the cheskas, and so it's again, within the pistaklut, the view of the Ramban, saying I agree with the chazaka means I agree with that this is a reality. Within the Baal Hamor, saying I agree that there's a chazaka, all it is telling us is that Bezdin has a tool to resolve sfeikos, but not that really is the vada'ut, not that there really is the situation. Okay, ad kan these three shitas. However, there is a fourth shita, which is the Ramban. So let's read it inside. The Ramban says, Elo ha'ikar ha'perush, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom, 3 words from the end of the line, Ela ikar haperush kedivrei Rashi. The Ramban says, I want to return to Rashi. Dehoda katani ein latanas besulim Rabbi Gamliel. The ikar perush is that this brisa over here of ein latanas besulim, this is Rabbi Gamliel. Not like the Baal Hamor switched and put Rabbi Gamliel over here because ha Rabbi Gamliel means one. No, ha Rabbi Gamliel in this situation means two. The brisa of Ein Lo Tanas Besulim is Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Gamliel realigns himself with the first parak. Rabbi Gamliel is the one who says that the woman is going to get her ksuva. Ein Lo Tanas Besulim means she's going to get her ksuva. That's the proper direction of the brisas. However, then he moves over the Taninan La Mukas Eitz, as opposed to Rashi, that the Cheskas Aguf backs up her taina of Bishit Nitarasti Ne'enasti, the Ramban, we'll put over here the Ramban with Rashi, he learns like Rashi that this first braisa is Rabbi Yoshua, the second braisa is Rabbi Gamliel, the classic Rabbi Gamliel who has a Cheskas Aguf, but the Taninan over here, according to the Ramban, is Mukas Eitzani. Again, she's believed for the same reason of her cheskas aguf, that she was never nivelet. That if something happened, that it happened naturally, not that there was an interference from the outside. Tanina mukas eitzani. Why did the Ramban move over to mukas eitzani instead of mishinit erasti ne'enasti? So the Ramban says, V'chein kosvu Rabbi Nochanano v'ha-ga'onim, u'bazeh samach Rabbeinu shiktava b'hilchotav, v'nir eli, that's the riff, da'filu kidesh u'ba'al ga'alter, she'i efshar chetachtav ira lakum, afilu hachi ein lo ta'anat b'suli. Namely, that this taina, mukas eitzani, is a much better taina than mishin interasti ne'enasti. Mishin interasti ne'enasti, you require a period of time between the erusin and the nisuin. That in that period of time, she claims she was raped. But nowadays, we don't have any such period of time. Right? We have kedushin, read the ksuva, and then we have nisuin. It all takes place under the chuppah. So mishin interasti ne'enasti is not going to be a taina. Mukat eitz would be a taina. Mukat eitz would even be before the erusin, that she would still claim, I should still get my ksuva because of mukat eitz. Mukat eitz. Okay, but then the Ramban continues to, because on one hand, mukat eitz is much more universal. You don't need any period of time between the erusin and the nisuin. But on the other hand, how much is she going to get in mukat eitz? If she claims, actually, he claims Pesach Pasuach Matzati, she says Mukas Eitz. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, she gets nothing. She gets nothing. Let her prove that she was a Mukas Eitz. According to Rabbi Gamliel, she gets. What does she get? 100 L'chora. But here, we, what? It's Machokas in the Gemara whether she gets 100 or she gets 200. However, even, and so over here, when we say Einlehem Tanas Besulim, we're saying that she's going to get an amount. How much is she going to get? So the Rashba over here really says, so she'll get 100. Rabbi Yeshua says she gets nothing, and here she'll at least get 100. But the Ramban says, no, she'll get 200. Why will she get 200? So here the Ramban explains, gives background to the world of Chereshet and Shota. Can Chereshet and Shota get married midoraisa? Can they get married midoraisa? What do you need to get married midoraisa? Das, right? You need das. By a ketana, we have unique halacha that her father can stand in for her. But the chereshet and shota, there is no dat. So midoraisa, they can't get married. What? Excellent question. What about when they are chereshet and shota who are ketanot? But we're assuming we're dealing with a chereshet and ketana who's no longer chereshet and shota, no longer ketana. So they can't get married mida oraisa. That's a terrible state of being for a woman to be in, that she can't get married. People will abuse her. So Chazal were metakein nisuin. They made a takana that midrabanan, we can marry this such a woman, and she is your wife, and she's not allowed to be mezana v'chule v'chule. But not everyone wants to go ahead and live with someone who's a little off. I'm not a little off, very off. So Chazal, to make it more attractive to marry a chereshet and ketana, they gave them nisuin b'li ksuva. So the husband can, you know, she'll come into the house and she'll help out in many, many areas, but there's no chiyuv ksuva in order to get the nisuin off the ground. So what are we talking then about yesh tanat besulim, ein tanat besulim, if there's no ksuva? But the husband on his own decides, I want to give a ksuva. I want to show her yachas. I want to show her that I view her like any other woman, even though she mentally does not have the ability to be responsible. I want to give her a ksuva. So once we have that situation where he wants to give her a ksuva, so then the amount is basically totally in what he wants. Namely, when she's to'enet, or when Bezdin are to'ing for her, mukas eitz ani, what they're saying is not a mekachtos. If it's not a mekachtos, so give her that which you, on your own, wanted to give anyway. You wanted to give her 200, it's not a mekachtos, so give her 200. There's no reason for it to go down. That's what the Ramban explains. Just to read it inside, Mechti kaimalon chereshet v'shota ein lahem ksuva ela kisher rotzalich tovla. V'kaimel anami mukas eitz ben hikirba ben lo hikirba mana alma ein mekla mekachtos. Namely, the tain of mukas eitz is believed to the degree that it's not a mekachtos. Hilkach nosach kereshet afal pishikosav lamatayim kosavar besulahi lo matza besulim toanin la mukas eitz kevon de midat atzmu kosav masayim. He didn't write matayim because the Torah forced him to write matayim. He wrote matayim because he wanted to write matayim. Ein mafsed et klum. Ein ze mekachtos. Period. Okay. What the Ramban then comes to the conclusion, according to Rashi and myself, says the Ramban, what about knas? Rav Yoshua says she gets a knas. What about, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the world of Knas? So that the Ramban concludes, V'amrei har Rav Yoshua, af Rav Yoshua kamar, kamar divrei hakol, hu adin Rabbi Gamliel, isla Knas. That there's no reason that there should be any machlokas in terms of Knas. Kal v'chomer, according to Rav Gamliel, the zacheskes haguf, that she's a besula, so we'll add in over here also, again, according to Rashi and the Ramban, Yesh la knas. And when there's no machlokas that a chereshet and shota gets a knas, the only machlokas is whether they get a the ksuva. Rabbi Yeshua says knas yes, ksuva no. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, not only does she get a knas because of rechaz kasaguf, she even gets a ksuva because of the world of tanina. That's not Tosfos. Tosfos over here says that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Cheskas Besula, she gets, according to Tosfos, she gets a Knas, but she loses her Ksuva, because she should have been a Besula. According to Rabbi Gamliel, she loses her Ksuva, and loses her Knas. Cheskas Mukas Eitz. Cheskas Mukas Eitz, in other words, that Yesh Ksuva, about Ein Knas. That's within Tosfos. Within the Baal HaMo'ar, he switched everything around. According to Rabbi Gamliel, she gets the Knas and she gets the Ksuva. She gets the Knas, but she loses the Ksuva. According to Rabbi Yoshua, she loses the Knas, Cheskas Be'ula, but she gets her Ksuva because the husband should have known better. Knas Suva. We have, how are we going to work this? Rashi, Ramban, then we have Tosfos, and we have the Baal HaMo'ar. Within each of these we have Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. So, according to Rashi, according to Rabbi Gamliel, she gets her knas. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, she gets her knas. Everyone agrees that she gets knas. According to Tosfos, within Rabbi Gamliel, she has a cheskas mukas eitz. Cheskas mukas eitz, she does not get the knas. According to Yoshua, she has a cheskas besula. She does get the knas. According to the Baal HaMo'ar, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that's the first brisa, she's a cheskas besula, she gets the knas. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, the second brisa, she does not get the knas. She's becheskas be'ula. In terms of the ksuva, so according to Rabbi Rashi and Ramban, Rabbi Gamliel, she gets the ksuva. According to Rabbi Yeshua, she doesn't get the ksuva. Yesh lemtat besulim. Within Tosfos, according to Rabbi Gamliel, she gets the ksuva. Cheskas munkas eitz. According to Rabbi Yeshua, she doesn't. And here the Ramban switches it. That in our case, by the Chereshet and the Shota, Rabbi Gamliel says she does not get the Ksuva, and Rabbi Yeshua says she does. That's the unusual, but the Baal HaMo'ar turned it around. The reason I wrote this is because we have one more shita that we have to deal with, and that is the Rambam. What's the din of Chereshet v'Shota within the Rambam? And in terms of Ksuva, by Chereshet and Shota, the Rambam Haskins like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says that everyone gets the Ksuva. Even in other words, that we have a cheskas haguf, everyone, if a woman claims, she gets the ksuva. And if she doesn't claim, tanina, she's going to get the ksuva. What about knas, vaychei reshet and shota? Here the Rambam says, black and white, that she does not get the knas. Ein la knas. Ein la knas. So the Ravid goes ballistic. David says, what do you mean, ein la knas? The Braisa says, yesh la knas. And the Gemara says that this Braisa is akin to Rabbana. In other words, that within the world of Rav Meir, Ketana doesn't get a knas, Eilanes doesn't get a knas, Cheresh and Shota maybe don't get a knas, but we're talking about Rabbana. Rabbana say that they get a knas. Everyone gets a knas according to Rabbana. And that's the Ravid's question. Nu, what do you say for the Rambam? Is this so off the wall to say that you get the ksuva and don't get the knas?
No, because if she is becheskas mufaseitz, then she would be receiving the knas.
Namely, we have such a box that the right, in other words, that we have the ri, the tosfos, the ri, says that according to Rabbi Gamliel, she's becheskas mufaseitz, she has a ksuva, she has no knas. So that would be a very, very simple way of learning the Rambam. On this Rambam, there's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous literature. Why should there be such a literature if it isn't it so obvious that the Rambam could learn like Tosfos? Tosfos is certainly a valid way of learning the Gemara. Within Rashi and the Ramban, we have the issue that Tosfos raises. Ma pitom that a cheskas haguf should override a cheskas mamon. That's a tremendous chiddush of Rashi and the Rambam. The Baal Hamor is somewhat off the wall in terms of how he turns upside down Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Tosfos appears to be like a normal pshat. We have an issue with Tosfos of the phrase of Taninan. That's an issue. It's a valid issue. We don't have the first kasha of the Ramban, because Rabbi Yoshua, you know, is not where the Baal Hamor put him. We have the issue of Taninan. It's an issue that the Gemara over here uses the phrase Taninan, and really within Tosfos there are no Tainas. But there's no reason why the Rambam should be any worse than Tosfos. The reason why we have such a literature is that Tosfos makes one assumption. Who does not get a knas according to Tosfos? That we're going to say the Chereshet and the Shota don't get a knas. Why? Because they're becheskas mukas eitz. That implies what? That a mukas eitz, according to Tosfos, does not get a knas. Here we have a problem. The Rambam doesn't talk about mukas eitz at all. So the question is, the Rambam, if you recall, has this list of women who don't get a knas. In Hilchos Nara Basula, Perek Aleph Halachates, Rambam says, "Ve'elu she'em lahen knas, ha'bogeret, ha'mema'enet, ha'aylenet, ha'shota, ha'chireshet, mi she'yatzal ha'shem rabbe yalduta, datatam, ha'megureshet min ha'nisuim, datatatatam, v'chulei." Right? So we have within the Rambam some seven or eight women who don't get a knas. What is not written in this list? Mukas eitz. So the question is, you know, like, you can only learn the Rambam like Tosfos if the Rambam assumes that mukas eitz does not get a knas. But mukas eitz is this unusual situation where on one hand, she's not a basula. On the other hand, she's not a ba'ula. namely, what should be the din if someone rapes or seduces a mukas eitz? Should there be a knas or not is an open question. Right? Tosus assumes that a mukas eitz does not get a knas because she's not a besuga. But the Rambam doesn't list that as one of the categories. And so to build Cheresh Veshota on Mukas Eitz, when the Rambam doesn't talk about Mukas Eitz, is not the easiest thing to do. But, you know, certainly one can say it. Certainly one can say it. And it could very well be that the Rambam doesn't mention Mukas Eitz, because he mentions Chereshes and Shota, and there Becheskas Mukas Eitz. Namely, maybe it's built in. Or, the Rambam starts off, Ve'elu, sorry.
Does the Rambam say Ve'ula in the list?
What?
Does the Rambam say Ve'ula in the list?
That's, the Rambam, that's where I want to suggest, that the Rambam speaks about, the Rambam starts off, Perek Aleph Lacha Aleph, Hilchos Nara Besula, Misha Pita Besula, Konsen Oso Mishkal Chamishim Slaim, V'cheinim Onas Osa. Namely, that the Rambam, simply by speaking about the Knas by a Besula, maybe that itself excludes Mukas Eitz. She's not a Besula. He doesn't speak about, and the Torah speaks about, right? Nara Besula. So I don't know whether it's such a tragedy if the Rambam doesn't mention Mukas Eitz black and white. It would make life easier and erase a lot of pages. The Mishnah Lamelech had the Rambam said. There's a Mishnah Lamelech over here that goes in this print, like over four pages. In the classic Rambam Frankel, it's like about 9 pages. But you know, it's basically on this issue. I mean, among other things, but also it goes a bit of divinus, but basically How do we deal with the Rambam? But I do think that the easiest, my humble opinion, is that the Rambam learns like the Ri, and agrees with the Ri that Mukas Eitz doesn't have a knas. It would have been nicer had the Rambam said it black and white, but it's certainly not all that far to say that the Rambam says that a Mukas Eitz is not a besula, and therefore she doesn't get a knas. And the Chereshet and the Shota have a cheskas Mukas Eitz. Okay, you can speak to the fellows from Ben Shashir. He gave them a whole slew of achronim who learned the Rambam in all sorts of different manners. But every one of them has a problem. So it's not as though there's one way of learning the Rambam that fits in smoothly. But I think this would fit in the smoothest, yes?
In terms of being Madonna, I heard Mukas Eitz, we're creating a Cheskas Mukas Eitz. She's not Mam. We don't know if she's really Mam Shem Mukas Eitz, according to the Rambam. I mean, it would make sense. I'm trying to defend why the Rambam didn't need to say necessarily why Mukas Eitz doesn't get Knas. She's not necessarily Mukas Eitz. We're being Madama her to Mukas Eitz.
Again, the Gemara says that the din of Chereshet and Shota is totally in the machlokes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Right? That's the Gemara says. The Gemara deals specifically with the Yesh Latanat Besulim, Ein Latanat Besulim. With that, we had Rashi and the Ramban, Tosfos and the Baal Hamor, who dealt with that issue. Within the world of Knas, we simply had this Brisa, number one, that said Yesh Lim Knas. What does Brisa number two hold? That's a Machlokas Rishonim. In terms that Brisa number two holds, according to the Baal Hamor, Ein Lahem Knas. According to Rashi, Yesh Lahem Knas. According to Tosos, Ein Lahem Knas. That's, in other words, and Lechora, the bright, in other words, what we're going to say in Brisa number two depends on how we learn this line. Why Ein Lahem Tanas Besulim? So to learn that Ein Lahem Tanas Besulim, because there's a Cheskas Mukas Eitz, that we have a local machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, is a very real option. It's a very real option, because the alternative is the Baal Hamor, that everything's upside down, or Rashi and the Ramban, and then you have to come on to say that a Cheskas Haguf Kimimotzi Mamam, that's a Chiddush, that's something which you're not going to put into the Rambam unless you're forced to put it into the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say in Hilchos Toyin Benitan, etc. He learns, he brings Rabbi Gamliel with all of the Bari Veshema and the Migo, with all of the tools that are found in the first parak. So to say that again, if we're going to assume, like Tosfos, and the Gemara does, you know, Tosfos is not making this up. To just turn the daf to daf lamed vav amid beis, and you look at the fifth line of the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. Amar Rabbi Zeir mishum shenechbetet agabi akarka kuhu name chivute machtete. Right, that everyone, all the women tend to fall. This is not something, and this is according to Rabbi Gamliel. That's exactly what Tosa says. That this is mainstream. That we assume that women fall and that many are mukas eitz. So to say that the chereshet and the shota are in this situation, we have three ways of understanding the chereshet and shota: either the becheskas besula, or becheskas beula, or becheskas mukas eitz. Right, as we pointed out, we have these three options of how to view the chereshet and the shota. Of those three, this is not any less likely than the other two. In other words, the Rabbi Yeshua was assuming a society without ethics. The people will take advantage of the chereshet and the shota and abuse her, and that's why she's becheskas beula. The Rashi and the Ramban assume the sort of ideal society that women who are mentally have special issues are taken care of, you know, or it's with kid gloves. That's a very wonderful assumption. What Tosas is assuming is that because of the fact that they would tend to have injuries, it could very well be that they're mukaseitz, and that's the way we'll view them according to halacha. And then that would turn out that they would not get the knas. So it's certainly an option. Okay, this is what we have over here in the sugya. Al regal achas, we'll call it it's a day in terms of the sugya. What I'd like to move to next time is a new gemara. And here we have a Gemara where the editor of the Vilna Shas did us a favor and broke it up into bite-sized pieces. So I'd like you to prepare until the Mishnah. Read it over until the Mishnah, and then break it up into the bite-sized pieces of the two dots. In other words, see the Gemara from Habogeret until Pesach Pasuach, with Rashi and Tosos. Then see the Gemara from Suplus until Lo Knas Velo Pitoy, with Rashi and Tosos. Then see the Gemara Hayotzeitz Mishum Shemra until the Mishnah, with Rashi and Tosos. Just two things. I'll write it up, but the top Tosos over here on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Tosos says, Ule'el Beper Kama Daftes Amid Aleph, the parenthesis, Diramaskel HaOmer. That Tosos is important to see, where, you know, it's because he says, Ula'el Pirashti. In other words, I explained this sugya earlier. So see that Tosas, where he explains our sugya. And also, what else did I want you to see? Just, yeah, in terms of the world of Bogeris, to see the Rambam, there are a few times in the Rambam where he's much more lengthy in his Yada Chazaka than the usual very terse halachos. And this is one of them. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus Perek Yud Aleph has two long halachos, one after the other, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. And they're very, very relevant to understanding our sugya here. I'll write up the Ramakoma. So basically, it's Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. And this Rambam on Bogeris. Okay, and then I hope that we can cover that on Yom Rishon. As far as we'll get, we'll go in the order of the two dots, two dots, two dots. The same.